is Bianca, and I'd like to welcome you to the very first episode of Life at Shopify, a podcast where we chat with the folks who work here, because to really get to know Shopify, you have to get to know our people. Today, I'll be chatting with Marquis Sveen, who currently works as a staff UX developer on our marketing team. Listen in to hear how Marquis pivoted from architecture and marine biology to eventually a career in web development at Shopify. So let's dive into it. When you think back to when you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I knew that I love nature, and I spent tons and tons of times in nature growing up. I grew up in Calgary, and so I was always really drawn to animals and the environment and stuff like that. But I also was super interested in houses, and I would just go for walks a lot and look at people's homes, and I always thought about being an architect.
Cool.
Yeah. So both, I would say both a zookeeper maybe and an architect.
Okay, cool. And so what did you end up doing? What was your profession prior to joining Shopify?
So I originally went to the University of Toronto, and I did my first year there in architecture.
Cool.
But it didn't go so well. So I'm just not visually strong. I think I'm obviously a UX developer. I think about user experience a lot, and journey and stuff like that. But I'm not I'm not a visual designer at all. And I think obviously being an architect, visuals are one important piece of the puzzle, as well as obviously user experience. You need to have both. So then I pivoted to zoology. So I did that at U of T.
I'd love to know how you made the pivot to zoology in university.
Oh, okay. My God, Bianca, this was so long ago. I'm almost 40. I can't remember what I was doing when I was 18.
Was there any particular, I know you said when you were younger, you loved animals and nature. Mm-hmm. Was that kind of inspired you to switch from architecture to zoology, or was it just something you thought this could be cool to try?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I just really didn't have any sense of responsibility, or I really wasn't driven in any sort of way that I needed to think about providing any sort of security for myself or my family. I wasn't interested in getting a real job, and none of that interested me. So throughout my university and even after that, I always just kind of followed things that I was excited about. And if I wanted to read about it, if I was excited about the material, then I always kind of followed that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's go back then to just chatting about what you ended up doing before joining Shopify. What was your profession?
So after I graduated from university, I really, like I said, I didn't want to join the real world, and I didn't know what to do. So I was able to, I'm just trying to think of timelines here for one second. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was right. So because I had studied at the Bermuda Biological Station for research, after university, I went to Australia and I went to the Great Barrier Reef, and I did a bunch of sailing there and a bunch of, snorkeling and different things like that, and just really being into the ocean. And then I had an opportunity came up through some family friends that they were filming a documentary called Sea of Steel. And what it is it's looking at a bunch of artificial reefs in the ocean. So artificial reefs are these ships that are sunk on purpose, and they're like hollowed out and made to be environmentally friendly. And basically it's kind of like planting trees in the ocean. So, you know, because all of the coral reefs and invertebrates and all of those good things, they can't just like grow up on their own. They need like a carbon base to attach to. So they would attach themselves to these ships. And they're all at like different, they were sunk at different times. So we went around and we were looking at the various species on each of these ships, depending on if they'd been sunk for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and just kind of scuba diving around and checking them out. But unfortunately, during one of the dives, I just had a really terrible experience. You know, I won't go into it in like detail because it's kind of a long story, but basically what happened was I just had too much weight on and the current was really strong, and I couldn't get control over myself underwater, and my buddy wasn't paying attention. You know, this happens a lot, like when mistakes happen, when there's like bad situations, like it's normally like a bunch of small things going wrong, and a bunch of small things went wrong. And basically I was so deep, because it was like these ships can be so deep, like I was like 120 feet underwater or whatever. So you know, if you're at 30 or 40 feet, you can drop your weight belt and go back up to the surface, and you don't have to really worry about getting the bends or anything like this. But when you're that far underwater, you can't do that. And I just don't deal well under pressure. I just kind of panic, and I definitely went into panic mode, and I just kind of gave up, and I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to die. And literally, I literally thought I was going to die. And then just kind of like shut my eyes and just kind of started to, I don't know, like check out of the world. And then I ran into something, and I ran into the anchor line of the boat, and I just kind of grabbed onto it. And then I slowly just put one hand over top of the other and made my way back up to the surface. But that was very traumatic. And after that, I was just like, I don't think I'll be scuba diving again for a long time. Or if I do scuba dive, it'll be in warm water, because I was in really cold water. It was near Nanaimo.
Oh wow.
So I was wearing like a dry suit, and you know, it was a cold day. It wasn't great, and it was choppy, and it was just not fun. So then I was like, oh yeah, in the future I may scuba dive again, but it'll be like in a tropical location. I'll only be like 30, 40 feet. If anything bad happens, I can just again drop my weight belt and I won't die and it'll be fine. So Yeah.
Wow, that's an incredible part to your story. Yeah. I can't believe you went through that.
Yeah, but so that was right before I went to Korea. So I went to teach English in Korea right after that.
Okay.
And absolutely loved it. It was just great to just totally immerse myself in a totally new culture that I hadn't visited or experienced before. And I did that for about a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when I came home from Korea, I was, again, still just floating around, not sure what I wanted to do. And I started working at the Calgary Public Library because I had moved back to Calgary because that's where I grew up. And Then I started working at the library, and I was like the bookmobile for 2 years. And I'd go visit preschools, and I would go visit after school clubs and boys and girls clubs, and people would sign up books for me. And for the younger kids, I would do story time or a song or a game, and kind of put on a little performance for them and get them.
Oh, that's so
It was so
cute.
cute. It was amazing. So I was the bookmobile for about 2 years, and then after that, I decided to go move to a different branch and run programs inside of the branch instead of like being the bookmobile. So I ended up at this branch that was beside a technical institute and called SAIT. And basically, yeah, I was teaching at the library. I was teaching cyber seniors. I was teaching story pals, where we brought dogs in, and kids around grade 3, which is like a really crucial year for reading. They would read out loud to dogs, and just kind of fall in love with reading. And there was a bunch of other incredible programs, like one of my favorite times of my life for sure. And so then in the evening, I started taking night school at SAIT, and I first started out with the Adobe Creative Suite. So I'm pretty sure when I took that, it was CS2. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure maybe some people listening to this didn't even know Adobe Creative Suite had CS2, but yes, it existed. And so I learned InDesign, again, something that's a relic now. I learned Photoshop, I learned Illustrator, all of these types of things. And then I also took my first HTML course. I took a course on CSS. I also, because I knew nothing about programming, I was just like, oh, I'll just take these courses. I don't know what they mean. So I think I took a C, maybe C sharp or something, I don't know, course. And then I took a JavaScript course. And that was my intro into development and stuff. But at the time, I was really involved in music at that point in my life. And I was taking a lot of live music photography. And at that point, I'd met my partner, and they were a music writer. And we just spent a bunch of time traveling to music festivals and having press passes, and I would take photos, and they would write up article. And yeah, so that was kind of my life. And at the time, I just felt like design and photography was like so much cooler than development. So we decided to move to Montreal, and I was going to go to Concordia. And I was thinking at the time of doing the program where it was kind of half graphic design, but half computer stuff. I don't know what the program is, but basically, the reason why I can't give you the right answer is because I didn't end up doing that program. I grew up speaking French, and when I got to Montreal, everyone was like, "Why don't you go to ECAM? Like, it has the best graphic design program, and it's better than Concordia or whatever." And I was like, "Okay, sure, sounds good." So I went to ECAM instead, which I actually think was a mistake, not in the sense of okay, mistake's the wrong word. I would never say anything I've done is a mistake, but I feel like the Concordia program would have been really fast-tracked me onto the things I really like, and it would have been like this hybrid model of development and computers, and I think it would have fast-tracked me into UX and stuff like this. But instead, because I went to ECAM, it is so there's four universities in Montreal. There's two English and two French, and the two French is UDM, and the other one is UQAM. And UQAM is just very kind of like European style. So like we barely used computers. Like everything in the program was done by hand. We made like a lot of like illustrations and collages and like different things like this. And so that's like the opposite of computers, right? So most people in my program did not speak English. It's, you know, a lot of the people who go to UCAM are from rural Quebec, and it really allowed me to understand the Quebecois culture so much better. And it also like improved my French to a level that I truly feel bilingual now, which is amazing. So yeah, you may not have, it may not have been fast-tracked into development, but I did still, like, I guess, expand my tea and learn other things and do other things, and that was cool.
So obviously you had, like, started to dabble into code and stuff, but did you ever at that point see yourself working for a tech company?
No, not at all. So at that point, when I was living in Montreal, I was like working at a little grocery store in the Mile End, and again, very involved in the music community there. We had a little online magazine that we were putting out, I was just really, I don't know, at that point in my life, I kind of thought that I was going to be living the artist lifestyle almost indefinitely.
And so what happened after you were done taking
I actually left the program before I didn't like get my certificate or whatever in graphic design. I did get my honors bachelor of science from U of T. So I already had my undergrad, and this was like a second undergrad that I didn't complete. And basically I just got to a point where something clicked and I was like, do I want to spend my life in Montreal? Do I want to put down roots here? Is this the city for me? And there was just something about my time in Toronto going to U of T. I just really enjoyed the city, and I really felt like I could build a life here. So we moved back. We moved back to Toronto and drove in a U-Haul with our two cats, Pizza and Crumbs. And they, aww, well, Pizza meowed the whole way for 5 hours. It was amazing. And fun. Yeah, very fun. And then when I came back to Toronto, because I had built a bit of a network here from my university days, I was able to get a job. Believe it or not, it was like a Bay Street type job. It was at a private wealth place.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was pretty terrible. Like, it was basically, I was working at Mad Men. There were no women in roles other than being assistants, really. It had a lot to do with appearances. You had to look a certain way. You know, all of our events were at various clubs, and everything, you know, revolved around money all the time. And I really needed the job. I just had come back from obviously being an artist in Montreal and needed to put money in the bank. So I was okay with being there for a while. Basically, I was doing a lot of things for them. I was, you know, doing admin work, but I was also their graphic designer. I was also their event coordinator. You know, you name it. Okay. I was helping out with those things. And basically, I just one day, I wrote a list. I still have it. I still look at it sometimes. But I wrote a list of things of what I wanted to do with my life and where I wanted to be and what type of company I wanted to work for. And, you know, some of the things on that list were, I wanted to be a company that was living in the future, not in the past, because I was like basically living at Mad Men. I wanted to go work somewhere that like was in the future, not in the 50s. I wanted to be someplace that really cared about the environment, and they actually like did basic things like recycled, and other things would be great. But like, even at the company I was working at, like people would just throw their pop cans in the garbage. Yeah. And it just made me feel like this is not my people. This is not where I want to be.
Yeah.
Not my place.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be somewhere where I could dress however I wanted, and I could express myself through my clothes. Like, you know me, I think I have a very distinctive style, possibly, maybe you think that, yeah. and I felt like not being able to express myself fully was detrimental. So yeah, I wrote this list. I wrote a bunch of stuff down, and then what I did is I reached out to my network, and I got that backwards. So when I looked at the list, it was like, okay, it looks like I would want to work at a tech startup in Toronto.
Okay.
That's what the list kind of like. And I really liked problem solving and other things like this. And at that time, I really didn't mind, though, being this kind of jack of all trades. And like, that's why a startup also seemed to kind of make sense, because they normally need, you know, if you're in like that 10 to 20 person company, you need people who can wear all different types of hats, and it's fine, right? So so I sent a message out to my network, and one of my friends was so kind. He was a founder at a startup in Toronto, and he just wrote the nicest email about me. He really didn't even know me, but he did this because he's just a wonderful person. And he was like, he's on like this founder email list, and he was like, if anyone's looking for this type of person, you should really have an interview with, you know, my friend Marky. She's looking for a job, da 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 da. And like, honestly, he really didn't even know me. We had like coffee once. And within, by like, he said that at like 9 a.m. and by noon, I had already had like 5 people call to ask me to have coffee with them and like kind of have a job interview. Aww. And it was so lovely. Yeah, it was freaking incredible. And I ended up working at a company called EventMobi. And there's actually quite a few people who work at Shopify who worked at EventMobi. I think I was like employee 12, and I stayed until they were like about 35 or so. And basically what happened, the TLDR there, is I said, I'm happy to come in and be, you know, this jack of all trades. I'm happy to be your admin person and to be your event planner and to do some graphic design and, you know, deal with your website and different things. But my main goal is I want to become a front-end developer. And they were like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. And so I was there for a year. And I don't think it even was a year. Like, as the year was ending, basically nothing had changed. Like, I was still basically being this admin-ish person. And I was like, okay, well, I need to like ask, am I going to be a front-end developer at this organization or not? Like, are they going to start mentoring me in mm-hmm. this way? Or are they not? And basically it came down to like, they weren't. So I had two choices at that point. I had the choice to go to a new startup, try again, and see if someone could mentor me, or think of something else. So I went and looked, and at that point in time, I don't think boot camps had started. I think maybe HackerU might have been in its first ever cohort, but maybe not. And it didn't really matter at that point in time, because I needed OSAP, and HackerU at that point, obviously, you couldn't use OSAP to go to HackerU. So I went to Humber. And there's
Okay.
actually a few people at Shopify who did the same program. It's a web development program. It's 1 year. And yeah, basically, I went to Humber. And the reason why I picked this program is they had an internship portion. And I just knew I had to get my foot in the door somewhere. So basically, yeah, I went and did the program, took that really long, terrible bus ride up to Humber North. It was insane. Through the winter, like very early mornings,
Oh gosh.
it was actually quite difficult. And yeah, the program was kind of archaic. Like, I don't think, we were learning ASP.NET and PHP and other things that, just aren't taught at a place like a boot camp. But at the same time, it still gave me like the foundation. And I was already pretty strong on the front end. I already had a bunch of skills around building like the UI layer of from like doing my online magazine and other things like this. So what I really needed help with was understanding like databases and frameworks and server-side applications and stuff like this, which it did help with. So yeah, so then the program came to an end, and luckily for me and a couple other people, we didn't have to do an internship. We got hired straight out of the program. Yeah, so
Oh
nascent, yeah,
wow,
it
that's
was
so
very,
great.
again, so I feel so lucky for that. And nascent, yeah, hired me straight out of there, and then I started working at Nascent Digital.
Okay, that's so amazing. Just like thinking back, I think it's really interesting that like you went from something really quite creative to working into code and learning front-end development. Do you think there's like a misconception that the creative folks out there can't learn or might not want to learn about coding?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I would say that there is a part of being a developer that like it is really important to be organized. And
Okay.
You really want to have naming conventions for things, and you really want to kind of stick to certain rules and best practices. And I would
Got it.
say, like, if you're the type of person who is creative, but you also love to organize a junk drawer or like Marie Kondo your house, then
Yeah.
it might be for you. I would say that like it might be a bit more difficult for a person that is creative, but they also are very disorganized in their minds and they don't like some order. Does that make sense?
I think that makes a
Yeah.
ton of sense. Cool. Thank you. I was just curious about that because I don't know. I feel like I'm more of like a creative person, so I just like kind of naturally assume it would be for me, but like I love to be organized, so
Yeah,
you
no,
never know.
absolutely. And yeah, I think like I know like you're a textile artist also. And I do think that
Yeah.
like, yeah, if you're a textile artist, then you see that, there's certain like patterns and stuff that you need to follow.
Yes.
So yeah, I
Yes.
think like, yeah, I actually think textile art and coding have tons of crossover. Yeah, it's very
Cool.
cool. But yeah, I would say like if you're like maybe some kind of like abstract painter or something, it might not be as
Yeah, one translate.
it might not
Awesome. That's super cool. Well, thank you for entertaining
translate
that question.
as
And so just to like go back, so obviously like you started this first job or first internship as like a front end developer. Maybe we can like fast track to you moving over to Shopify. Like, what was your catalyst from leaving that previous role?
Yeah, totally. So basically this is really funny and weird, but probably super awkward. But there was this one person, she's still around in Toronto. Her name is Tessa Thornton. And basically I just did whatever she did. So she was like volunteering with ladies learning code and kids learning code. And then I was like, oh, I should volunteer with them. And then she went and did the Humber program. And then I was like, oh, I should go to the Humber program. And then she was working at Nascent. And so one day I was mentoring at Ladies Learning Code, I believe, and she was teaching. And I just asked her, I said, I'm doing the Humber program. Would you be able to put me in touch with the HR person at Nascent? And she did that, which was awesome. And then,
That's so
yeah. And
great.
then when I started working at Nascent, I don't know how long she was at Nascent for before she went to Shopify. But I don't think it was that long because I think she's like pretty OG Shopify. And yeah, so then as I do, I just follow everything she does. So after a couple of years of learning a bit, actually there was two other people who went to Shopify. So there was a woman named Camille, and she no longer works at Shopify either, but so she went from Nascent to Shopify. And then also Kat Batista, she's a designer. Yeah, so Kat and I came to Shopify almost at the same time. I think she came 2 weeks before me. And basically what happened was Camille was leaving Shopify to go work at Bunns, and she thought of me and put me in touch with Stephen Michael Thomas. And then Steve and I went and had coffee. I honestly had no clue about Shopify or what I was getting into. I like obviously I had been following that Tessa went there, and I heard different things, and but I really didn't understand what I was getting into. It was truly like fate and a huge stroke of luck that it happened. And then yeah, Kat started, and then I started 2 weeks later, and this summer it'll be 4 years. So
Wow,
it is
so
pretty amazing.
amazing. Obviously, like 4 years, we know, just working at Shopify myself, we know it goes by really fast, but also really slow. You do tons of things, and I feel like myself, I've definitely changed as a person since I first started here. But like, how would you say your priorities have changed since you joined Shopify? Like, what does success look like now to you? Do you still look back at your list?
I would say that for me, the idea of success hasn't changed from what I thought originally. I've always felt like success has more to do with how you feel, how you're doing. Are you mentally fulfilled? Are you feeling good? Are you growing? I wouldn't say that like that idea hasn't changed for me. It's just that Shopify has allowed me to succeed, and it has allowed me to grow and to evolve and change and get better at my craft and at my interpersonal skills and become a better person. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really lovely. I like that a lot. Thanks. Like this conversation has been amazing, and I really have enjoyed your story. It's always so interesting to hear where people started and where people have come from. Just to end this off with one
Yeah.
final question before we go. What have you learned about yourself since joining Shopify?
Bianca, I wish you gave me more time. Here's one thing. Here's a few things I've learned about myself. So one, I need time to process questions for the most part. So I've learned that. Oh my gosh, I've learned so many things.
You can
Okay.
take your time now. Yeah,
I've
you can take
learned
your time now. You're
that
good.
there are to have a successful project, product, you really need a diverse team. And when you have a diverse team, you really have to find ways that everyone can actually be heard, and you're able to like actually bring out everyone's skills and voices and stuff, because that's why they're all there, is they all have something to give to the project. And I feel that like many times in many organizations, like it's the people that can be the most articulate, or the people who can know when there's like a little lull in the conversation that they can jump in and they speak first. And, you know, they lots of times like really dominating personalities take over, and they take over meetings and stuff. And I just have found that, many times that type of person does have a good idea. What they're saying makes sense. What they're saying, you know, it might even be an awesome idea. But almost always, the other people in the room who are not saying anything have just as good of ideas. And if you don't let them or figure out a way for them to share, then you're doing a disservice
right.
to your team and to the product. So I would say luckily I've been surrounded by incredible leads and leaders at my time here. And, you know, they have done great jobs of like making sure that all of these different voices are taken into account. Yeah. And yeah, I would just say like for me, my biggest personal lesson is like over and over again, I learn not to like judge a book by its cover. I think it's so easy to form like what is it called? Like when you just first meet someone and you have like first impression, right?
First impression.
I think one thing I've learned is that like many times my first impressions of people are wrong. Like I'm definitely someone who I really don't like people who are not kind and respectful and generous and nice. Like that's just like table stakes for me. But I think a lot of times, over and over again at Shopify, people have surprised me, and I've been like walked away from getting to know someone and been like, wow, Marky, you are a dummy. Like, why did you not think this person was incredible? This person's so incredible. Like, why is your first impression of this person that they're anything but spectacular. So, and I, and for some silly reason, like I just have to keep on learning that over and over and over again. Yeah, I guess, you know, that's why I go to therapy, so I can work through stuff like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Marky. It's like always lovely chatting with you, but this is really great. It's a new layer. And it was so cool to hear about it. And I'm so glad you were willing to share it with everyone.
You're welcome. And yeah, this was really fun. And I'm sorry I'm not funnier.
No, it's great. I love it. Okay, thank you. Bye.